is the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site, covering, of course, your Arizona Cardinals, with my co-host, Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's NFL site for the Arizona Cardinals, and also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. And we are on episode 370. That's a lot of episodes if you've been following us all the way back to 2013, back when our audio quality was a little worse, and we said things like, we think we're seeing Michael Floyd becoming the top receiver on this. Yeah, I don't think we'll ever live that one down. If anyone remembers, go back and listen to it. But it's cut down day. So this edition of the show happens after we were recording on a Tuesday night, after the Cardinals have made final cuts. If you recall our last show, we predicted our final roster. We predicted the 53-man roster, and we didn't, I mean, there were some, it matched up somewhat, but the rosters were cut down Tuesday, and we're recording and reacting on Tuesday night. So more roster moves are to come, and that will, I mean, by the time you hear this show, it's very possible that those moves have already been done. But Seth, are you ready? Because we are now under 2 weeks away from actual NFL football. We have a team with 53 players. We have locker room access happening again as of starting next week. We had a locker room access after the game in the preseason. It is almost as if we are back to a normal.
Yeah, we're almost there, man. It's almost like real football time again. What, 3 years? Almost 3 years later, but it's getting there. I mean, we've obviously seen some of the changes, and you know, it's one of those situations where today sucks. It's one of our least favorite days, because I don't think people realize how much, like, especially you who's on site all the time, like, gets to know and see these players, especially the guys that typically are on the fringe. They are really open to access and things like that, because, you know, this might be the only chance they get, right, to have these conversations and talk to people like Jess. And so it's just, it's always a bummer, but it's also something that we know happens every year. And so, you know, it's just one of those things, like, you know, it's more difficult, I think, now, like you said, that you're getting back to normal and you're seeing the players, I don't want to say daily, but you're seeing the players way more often. You're in the locker room a little more. It's a little more intimate, and you're like, oh man, this kind of stinks.
Yeah, it is one of the times. And it's also, as we know, every year in the preseason and training camp, there are players who fans get attached to, and their performance in the preseason excites people, and therefore they seem like locks for the roster. And, you know, over the years, and I will say this, one of these times I will probably circle back around to a couple of former NFL players who never quite made it. It is a very rough, it is, once you're in the NFL and you're established, it's a great life, you get lots of money, but until you are actually established, that life is rough. Your life,
well, especially
you're on hold, because, you know, you still got to work out, but you're not in. But so you fly out to places, and if you've got a day to day job, it's hard to. It's very hard to keep up that dream for very long if you don't catch on somewhere.
Yeah, and it's just one of those situations where you know, like you said, if you want to continue to compete and try, you know, you're usually spending your own money on top of all of that, right?
Like, or you've got a support system with family who's kind of supporting you until you either make it or give up on it.
Right. And so, like, that's the thing, is like a guy like Greg Dortch, who's made the initial 53-man roster. Like, his story is fantastic to hear about, read about, talk to him about, like, just the perseverance that I had to go through. And now, like you said, like, he's going to make, you know, $350,000-$400,000 this year. You know,
oh,
if
it's
he,
even more, like, the league minimum, like, it's like 700,000 now.
Oh, is it not?
Yeah. Jeez.
See, and so, like, that's, those are the guys, you know, we cheer for and we root for. But it's also really interesting because, like you said, fans get so stinking attached to some of these guys that just were never going to be on the roster sans an injury to another player. Like, it would have had to have been, you know, it would have had to been, and like, you don't want to say it this way, but like, divine intervention for, you know, somebody like Tanner.
Somebody else's misfortune brings you fortune. And that's a very hard thing to deal with. But yeah. And, you know, those of you listening to us for the first time, or those who've been with us for a while we definitely have, we'd have players we like and we wish who could make the team, we also have been around covering the team now for long enough that we know kind of how they tend to work things. And that's kind of what we're going to break down in this edition of the show. Is we're going to talk about we're going to go through the roster cuts. Are there any surprises? There are some surprises, let's be honest. We'll go through who is on the roster. So who are the surprises to get cut? Who are the surprises to be on the roster? And who could be out with the next who could be out off the roster with the next wave of moves that are forthcoming for sure. The Cardinals did make a trade for a cornerback. We'll go over that. We will discuss which players we think could be coming back on the practice squad and what are the moves that we still need to do. So let's kick things off. The Cardinals are now down to 53 players on their roster. And they did it by, there were a total of, I think, 21 players they released outright. They placed one player on injured reserve. They had two vested veterans, so basically six players who left with injury settlements or will be leaving with injury settlements. And then, of course, DeAndre Hopkins is not on the final 53 right now because he is exempt from the Cardinals roster as he begins his suspension. We'll kind of go through, let's go through the players and who was cut at the end. So they cut both backs. So the Cardinals keep two quarterbacks. They cut Trace McSorley and Jared Guarantano. The running backs, they didn't cut any of them that were left. At receiver, they cut Andre Bocelli. They cut Victor Bolden Jr. and their two undrafted kids, Jontre Kirkland and Javonte Payton. At tight end, they cut Steven Anderson. They cut Bernhard Sajkowicz. And the other tight end, Chris Pierce, got waived injured. So he will, if he doesn't get claimed, he will revert to IR and will likely get an injury settlement at some point. On the offensive line, they released, not surprisingly, Rashad Coward, Danny Isadora, and then they, Coda Martin. And Marquise Hayes, one of their seventh round picks, he ends up on injured reserve, ending his season. And then Joshua Miles is waived injured. Justin Murray gets an injury settlement. And Greg Long, a tryout guy that was signed and cut and signed again, played towards the end, got an injury. Will end up on IR after he clears waivers and will get an injury settlement at some point. Defensive line, the veterans that they brought in, Christian Ringo and Antoine Woods, both were cut. Ringo gets an injury settlement, and they cut ties with undrafted rookie Manny Jones. At outside linebacker, they cut veteran Devon Kennard and also rookie Jesse Luketta, one of their seventh-round picks. At inside linebacker, they cut Joe Walker and then undrafted linebacker Chandler Wooten. The cornerbacks that they cut Jace Whitaker, they cut Josh Jackson. They had already kind of made some moves at cornerback already. And at safety, Tay Daly, James Wiggins cut, and Tay Daly gets waived injured. So he got waived with an injury designation, that sort of thing. So we've got, and then Hopkins got moved from the active roster to the suspended list. And yeah, so Hayes is the only one on injured reserve. They have four players that will end up there, and Josh Myles, Greg Long, Tay Daly, Chris Pierce, and then Justin Murray and Christian Ringo both were released with injury salaries. They're vested veterans, and so they just go on their merry way, sign somewhere else at some point. As we go through this list for you, Seth. Oh, and we forgot to mention, I forgot to mention as well, long snapper Aaron Brewer was also released. We'll talk that about just a second. But of all this list, what were your biggest surprises?
I mean, it's tough because you look at it, like you said, you just kind of like read through all of it. There wasn't anything that stood out. I was a little surprised to see they cut Luketta after they cut Devon Kennard. You know, you and I assumed that Kennard would make the roster. And then once they cut him, I think you and I both assumed that meant they wanted to try and keep Luketta. And so that one was interesting. We talked about the James Wiggins situation. I think last year they basically were like, hey, let's see where you're at athletically after the knee injury, because he wasn't back, you know, his senior year at Cincy, he didn't look the same, and he just has never looked the same again. Explosive linear athlete, just doesn't have that change of direction skill. McSorley was a little interesting just because it seemed like they would want to keep him around, but I think with how the NFL is right now with quarterbacks, I don't really think they were that worried about him, especially his last two performances were so bad.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a surprise that he got cut. It was a surprise based for me. I raised my eyebrows at it because, Cliff Kingsbury basically said, we're probably going to go with three quarterbacks. And I think they wanted to keep him on the roster because, honestly, they would probably rather him come back than have to train another quarterback or potentially bring back Garantano. They like McSorley. He's obviously limited. It's kind of, you know, if it's Colt McCoy, he's a poor man's Colt McCoy, let's say.
Right.
If you go with that. There were really only two surprises for me. Like, none of them I was shocked about. All the young guys, the undrafted guys, I was not at all surprised that they were all released. It was just because of the way the team was already built. On a less talented team, Chandler Wooten makes the roster. Manny Jones makes the roster. And probably one of the undrafted receivers might make the roster, especially Javonte Payton, who received specific praise about his play on special teams. But this year has more talent at different positions. So Devon Kennard was a surprise. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, how would you do that? It wasn't a surprise because I think he's that critical to the team. It was a surprise because they guaranteed over half of his salary when they redid his deal. And being that they have so little experience. So you've got Marcus Golden, that's fine. Dennis Gardeck isn't exactly proven. Kennard at least is a known quantity at outside linebacker. A known commodity there. And so I felt the entire offseason he was a lock. But to have him released and to have them eat that $600,000 in guaranteed salary was a little surprising. Less surprising because of the emergence of Victor Dimakaji and the fact that they have Myjai Sanders and Cameron Thomas. But, you know, for a team that wants to succeed this year, that wants to go deeper into the playoffs, to then get younger and younger at critical positions, seems different. It's kind of like the anti Kansas City Chiefs when they built their team a couple years ago, because they stockpiled veteran talent on defense. And the Cardinals are going the opposite way on that. They are building up a lot of youth. They have a lot of young players. Tavon Kennard surprised me. Aaron Brewer was the biggest shock. But once you get past the initial shock of it, you realize, no, there was a reason for that. That his release is purposeful, and he's not actually going anywhere. Because they wouldn't release their long snapper unless they had another long snapper that they've been trying out. And Aaron Brewer has been doing it for a long time, and when he's been out, the kicking game has been a disaster. This is simply a procedural move strategically, because he is a vested vet, does not have to go through waivers. Basically, he is nudge, nudge, wink, wink, hey, we're going to cut you because we're going to sign you back tomorrow after we place a couple of guys on injured reserve. And that way, so hey, Aaron, don't sign with another team. You're going to be back. Don't pack your bags. Just go home, and we'll have you back at the facility tomorrow. So I'm not surprised. Like, I'm surprised that's what happened, but it makes sense why they did it, because they have some injuries. They have some injuries that they probably of players who are probably going to go on injured reserve. I'm thinking at least two.
Right, and that's what it comes down to, and I think that's what some fans don't understand. So I'm going to, like, you know, obviously this is going to be some inside baseball talk tonight, so just hang on to your hat. But like, teams, when they build, they do it a couple of different ways. The first thing that they do is they look at, obviously, the entire positional groups, right? And so, like, you just kind of ran through everything, right? So one of the groups that's really interesting and important to the Cardinals, obviously, is wide receiver. And so they love Antoine Wesley. They love him. Whether or not you agree with it, doesn't matter. That's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, he was going to make this team.
Right. And so he might be a guy that ends up on the IR designated return, you know, misses the first four games of the season type of situation. Now you have to remember too, they only have, what did you say, 3-6 of those they can use this year? I can't remember.
It's eight. They can designate up as many as eight. It's not unlimited, but it's also not the two it used to be.
Right. And so Wesley, they wanted on this roster. They did not want to cut Greg Dortch or Andy Isabella. Dortch, because he earned the spot, Isabella, he earned his spot, and if they can get something for him, they'll be willing to do that, right? And so you look at it and you go, okay, let's look at a guy like Jesse Lemonnier, who had a nice preseason for the Cardinals, or one preseason game, I guess I should say, for the Cardinals.
He had a good half.
And people were like, why did they cut him? Well, we talked about the cutting guys that are veterans that may, you know, to give them an opportunity to go elsewhere. We also have to look at it as this. They cut him to let him go look elsewhere. Nobody signed him. And now, as Jess and I said last week, there are 1,000 free agents. And so you could, Lemonnier is a guy that you could literally see coming back and being on the practice squad. And so that's what you do, is you go through it and you go, okay, Dortch isn't making it to the practice squad, right? Isabella is not going to make it to the practice squad. But you know what? Jesse Lucchetta probably would make it to the practice squad. I'm not going to say he will.
But let's think of it this way. He wasn't a sought-after draft pick because they picked him 256th out of 263. It's not like teams were banging down his door to get him. And what you're going to see is that, and as we saw in the COVID years, what teams end up valuing more than anything are guys that have already learned their system, unless they're a special talent.
Right. And so that's what it kind of boils down to, right? So, like, these cuts that fans are like, what? Why Chandler Wooten get cut? Well, he got cut because the Cardinals don't, who's he going to play in front of? He's not going to play in front of Nick Vigil right now because Nick Vigil is probably going to quote unquote start alongside Zaven Collins while Isaiah Simmons is playing the star position and kind of roaming the defense, right? And so, I mean, and I'm not saying it's right, but from what we know about Vance Joseph's defense, do you really think that Vance was going to go with an undrafted rookie, a second year player that's basically going to be in his rookie live season, and a third year guy that they're tasking with
everything?
basically being the heartbeat of the defense. Like, that's just not how this group works. So you can say, like, well, you know, he deserved, well, maybe he deserved it over Ezekiel Turner or
but Benny. Turner was a lock for the roster anyway because he's a special teams ace. And I will say this is a factor about Zeke Turner that's underappreciated, because ideally we never see him. He offers the Cardinals a type of player who has some of the same type of skills that Isaiah Simmons has, because he's a former decent defensive back. He came out of Washington as a safety and moved to linebacker. And now, thanks to, you know, he followed in the footsteps of Dale Buchanan, but now as the league sort of evolves, having someone who can do a lot of things, Simmons is going to do a lot of things. Like, he's going to play in the box, he's going to rush the passer. But if you have a guy like Turner who can play that position and do the things in coverage, at least at a great value for like a great value Isaiah Simmons. It's a very, very poor man's Isaiah Simmons. But there are a few players who have his type of skill set. He at least has somewhat of one. So he was always going to be on the roster. Plus, he's a special team stud.
Right. And so, like, that's just the way you have to look at it. So, like, you know, if they put Wesley on the IR to return, right, they wanted him to have that ability. We were actually surprised they IR'd Marquise Hayes just outright.
Yes, because his rookie year is gone.
Right, because, I mean, and again, I'm not saying this is accurate or you know, any inside information, but like, you're telling me you couldn't have cut Ben Neiman and done the same kind of handshake, like wink wink, nudge nudge, see you tomorrow, you know, and then put Hayes on the IR? Like, so it's interesting how they go about it, how they build things, how they, you know, the rooms that they look in and try to figure things out. And you look at, you know, like we said, the offensive line. Those were locks. I mean, I don't think anybody had... The question was if they kept both Hayes and Smith. Like, that was literally the only question. You know, the cornerback room, are we shocked? Like, we literally called it beforehand. We were like, oh, yeah, it's going to be Murph, Wilson, Hamilton, and Matthew. Like, we knew they weren't going to keep Whitaker. You know, Josh Jackson was the only one that we were like, because he's
maybe
a veteran, but like, he's just so unathletic that he just, he like, and that's the thing that kills me is like, you look at a guy that was a second round pick that was a good ball player at Iowa, but like, you just see where that lack of athleticism like hinders him making plays on the ball, because he knows where to be. He's in the right area. He just seems to always be a step late, you know, and out of reach. And so, you know, those were the ones. And then obviously the safety position, we were kind of curious. I know a lot of people wanted to see Tay Daly stay, but you know, he might be a guy that's a candidate to come back if they put Charles Washington on the IR designated return. And
Taylor's going to be interesting because he was wave injured. He's going to go to injured reserve. So
is he?
Yeah, because he got hurt. Okay. He got hurt on the touchdown play that when the Titans won the game.
Oh, jeez.
He got hurt on his on the last snap of the preseason that he played. He got hurt on that touchdown play.
And so maybe you get somebody like Wiggins come back if they think offer anything in the special teams. And so those are the things you look at, right? Like, what you can't lose Washington because he or Turner because they're like literally special teams aces. But if you're going to put Washington on the IR designated return and you got to bring somebody back, who's it got to be, right? And so, or who would you have to cut to, you know, then bring back? And you, let's be honest, the way Wiggins played this preseason, it's like, well, we can cut James Wiggins. Nobody's going to pick him up, right? And so that'll be here's what I'll say to Cardinals fans, and you'll be listening to this after practice squads are filled and then change and, you know, all that stuff already. But like, look at the names of Cardinals, these guys that you know, that some people love, that you fell in love with, you know, the Chandler Wootons, the Tay Dalys, you know, those names that you're like, or Jesse Luketa, like, you know, I can't believe they got cut. And then see where they end up. Like, if they end up getting picked up on a roster, well, one, that means they have to be on the opening day roster. Remember that. So there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to get to practice squads easy, or they're going to choose to go to a different practice squad, because that is an option that a lot of these guys have. Remember, is that they can, you know, Jesse Luketa could be like, oh, I thought I was going to make this roster. Now I'm upset. I'm going to hold a grudge and go, you know, sign on the Seahawks practice squad, whatever. I'm just making up a team, but like, that is something that can happen, because if he signs on the active roster with the Seahawks, he has to be on the roster. So is it 2 weeks or is it just a week that they have to be on a roster?
I think they commit. So it's not a matter of how long they're on the roster. They're committed to, I believe, I think it's the same rule as if they sign someone off the practice, someone else's practice squad. They're committing 3 weeks of pay.
3 weeks of pay. That's what it is. Yeah. Which is good also for the guys. Because like we said, like I pulled up Greg Dortch, for instance. Dortch last year made $130,000. So that's what, and don't get me wrong, $130,000 is a good salary. It's good money, but the amount that he has to invest in himself, you know, from nutrition to training to all of that stuff to make sure that he can come back this year and then get a chance to earn that $895,000.
Yeah. The back of the roster / practice squad is not a glamorous life.
So, you know, it's just interesting to see how they built this roster up, because I think that it was an easy call, and that's something that we've talked about before, and I'm not going to say it's going to guarantee that they're going to be a good team again this year, but that's typically what you have with good teams, right? You don't have these, unless it's a veteran salary cap situation, you don't have these shocked cuts and moves that are made.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Seared podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on and actually talk about who's on the roster. What are the surprise players who made it? And what are some potential moves we see happening in the next 24 hours? That's coming up next on Rise Up Seared. We're back on the Rise Up Seared podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. And we talked about the surprise. We talked about the players who didn't make the roster. Let's talk about the players who did. We're kind of going through the roster. Quarterback, I think there was no surprise there. Were you surprised that all five of the running backs made it? There was some allusions to that in the broadcast that they could go with all five running backs. So you've got James Conner, Eno Benjamin, Darrell Williams, Jonathan Warren, and Keontae Ingram. I am a little surprised that all five, but I am also not sure. Like, I'm not 100% convinced that they're going to keep all five on the roster, because I suspect perhaps Jonathan Ward could be a player that goes on injured reserve. He was doing some limited work yesterday, but unless they just like Ingram that much that they're going to give him the Eno Benjamin treatment his first year.
Yeah, and so it'll be interesting to kind of follow that, because six is so, or five is so many running backs, right?
I mean, unless you're the Baltimore Ravens, if you run a Baltimore Ravens offense, that makes sense.
And maybe they're going to run the ball more.
But even still, I mean, like, how many, like, even if they keep, like, four running backs active on game days, that's, I mean, James Conner is going to get, and I'm going to think about it this way. He played 59% of the snaps last year, but that was partially because of injury. Kenyon Drake, when he was the main guy, played 60% of the snaps, but got, what was it, probably 80% of the touches. I see James Conner playing a similar role. How much is Eno going to play, and how much is Darrell Williams going to play? It's going to be interesting to see. But yeah, I personally wouldn't be shocked if we saw Jonathan Ward land on injured reserve initially. I know they like him. I mean, and that's why he's been on the roster. This is the third year in a row he's been on the roster. He made the team as an undrafted rookie 2 seasons ago, but I don't know if you can sustainably have 5 running backs on the roster all year.
Not unless you're going to do a lot of old
wishbone
wildcat
wishbone.
Yeah, and you're going to be like, hey, James.
But they have all the they have all the receivers too. So
yeah,
and a great tight end in Zach Ertz. Like, how many running backs are you going to put on the field?
Yeah, and so that's just, you know, it's an interesting one. I was a little surprised to see that Steven Anderson was released, just because the Max Williams situation is so unsure. And then Ertz has been dealing with, was it a back or a hamstring?
It's a calf.
Yeah, I knew it was something on the backside of the body.
So I'm guessing with Anderson being released, it tells us that Max Williams is likely going to be ready for week 1.
And it may just be in an emergency role. Like, he may not have.
Yeah. They always like to have 3 tight ends active.
But it may just be that they're so confident in
McBride.
In Ertz and McBride's availability that they're just like, okay, like, Max is our break in case of emergency until week 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And then go from there. You know, like you said, the Hayes situation, kind of surprising. I know some people were surprised Isabella made the roster. I honestly wasn't. I'll
be surprised if he stays on the roster.
I think that's more it. Unless they're not going to do anything until Wesley gets back.
That makes sense.
Because
the interesting thing is that that the report that came out today, Isabella wanted to be traded. He wants to be traded because he wants the opportunity to play. Because if he's wide receiver 6 on this roster, he's not going to be active on game days.
Right.
And
so,
and that's the thing with me with Isabella is like, what value does he give the team as wide receiver 6? Because he offers nothing on special teams. Greg Dortch is a better returner. And if you're wide receiver 6 and you're not on the field because he's not going to play ahead of he's not going to play ahead of Hollywood. He's not going to play ahead of Moore. He's not going to play ahead of AJ. And his best work, he does, honestly, Andy has proven that he can play outside and win outside. The problem is they don't need anybody. They don't need him playing outside because they have better players. Why?
Maybe
he offers you nothing as a 6th receiver.
Maybe he's the Brown backup until Hopkins is back type situation. That's the only thing I could really like speculate is you're saying like, because
honestly, I think he's the Green because I think he's been playing Z, and I think that Wesley, because he played the X last year, Wesley would be kind of the backup X. And
well, that's
gives
what
them
I mean.
The backup Z, and then obviously you've got Dortch the backup slot.
So it'll just be, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it breaks down. I'm assuming, like you said, they're only going to have 5 until Wesley comes back, if he gets IR'd. If they're 6, then maybe they're just seeing if they can get anything for him at all.
Yes, can someone? I mean, a 7th round pick. We'll take the 7th round pick's fine, even if it's 2024.
Right, exactly.
But as long as you trade that 7th, like, you know, everyone knows if you follow me, I don't like 7th round picks when it comes to the draft, but acquire them. Now you can take all the 7th round picks and then we can trade them away for somebody that you don't want to have anymore. And we don't have to draft guys in the 7th round anymore. But I wasn't shocked Isabella made the roster. I was surprised just because in terms of how simply because in terms of how the Cardinals build their roster, you know, wide receiver six has traditionally been for someone like Trent Sherfield or Jerron Brown, who offers you upside on special teams, what Andy has not done thus far. Like, they've used him at gunner, but I think there were better options on the team to do. I think that's the only time he was used is because it was out of necessity.
Right. I would agree with that. So you just kind of, you know, it's one of those ones to watch. We'll definitely see how it goes. What was your reaction moving over to the other side of the ball? Because I don't think there was any other surprises really on offense. What was your reaction to Neiman making the roster?
I'll be honest. I didn't realize he made the roster until I was looking at a roster break, and I'm like, oh, Neiman read the roster? He's on the roster, and I'm like, they have six outside, inside linebackers? Why? But, I mean, when he was signed, it kind of signaled it was going to be Neiman or Walker. And I'll be honest, I think on several of my, because I've been doing a roster prediction basically every week since the start of training camp, and I think I had six inside backers several times, and it came down to, for me, that it was going to come down to Vallejo, Walker, and Neiman for two spots, and we know what we have in Walker, which isn't much, and I wasn't sure that they held Vallejo in the same esteem as they did a season ago, but once the preseason started, you realize, based on the way they had the depth chart set up, that Vallejo was getting the same treatment as starters. And so, like, oh, I guess Vallejo's making it. Neiman on the roster, I don't know what the purpose of having that is, and maybe it's simply because maybe the team, even though they list Isaiah Simmons as a linebacker, really kind of consider him a safety.
Yeah, and that's what my thought process was too, is that, like,
so you've got five inside linebackers and a unicorn.
Right. Well, and the reality is, we know I don't mean this in a negative way. It's going to sound super negative, but every time you play Tanner Vallejo, extended time, he gets injured. So, and we know that he is a very valuable special teams player. So, you know, maybe their thought process is right now, Neiman can fill the role, and we don't have to worry about Vallejo. I'm just kind of spitballing because, yeah, it was a little odd decision to make. Like you said, it means they have five inside backers, but when you discount that you don't really want Turner on the field and Simmons could be more of like a safety outside backer corner type of guy.
with Simmons on a roster, it makes it very interesting because he is going to play the edge, he's going to play linebacker, and he's going to play some defensive back. So if you And the truth is, he's been doing drills with the safeties for a couple of months. So, in all practicality, it's more like they have five safeties and five inside linebackers instead of having six inside backers and four safeties. And so it's kind of like you've got four safeties, five inside backers, and a unicorn.
Right. And so you just have to look at it. I'm honestly a little just surprised that they kept him, but, you know, Ledbetter, we talked about. I know people want to see Manny Jones. Ledbetter gives you a little more.
Ledbetter is an interesting one because I didn't realize this when I was looking. I was like, oh, he came into the league the same year as Dogby. And so their defensive line, their defense is really young now. Because you've got J.J. Watt, and then the rest of the defensive line is 2019 or later. You've got Simmons and Collins at inside, at the outside linebacker. You've got, you know, you now have three players in Demakeji, Myjai Sanders, Cameron Thomas that are 2 years or in year two or less. You've got Marco Wilson his second year. Christian Matthew is in his rookie season, And so basically you've got, well, and the fact that Deontay Thompson and Jalen Thompson are both 2019 guys. This is a suddenly a very young defense.
It is. It's an extremely young defense, and we'll see how this pans out. Because the only guy that's shown kind of the juice to be a dog next to Watt is Allen, and he's got some of the same availability issues we've seen with other guys. So you have a lot of guys that are the Corey Peters role, which is great if you have other players around them and that can be a little more spectacular at times.
I know they love Rashard Lawrence. I know they're still high on Lucky Foe too.
And both of them have the role. Ledbetter is sneaky.
And also Dogby has progressed really nice. And so what you have are very capable players with some playmaking ability that maybe it's the... Now, granted, JJ, Zach, Allen, Fotu, and Lawrence have all had injury concerns. All of them. But maybe, rather than having broken down vets, they'd rather bet on youth to play up front. And it's important because these are all, and they're not rookies, so they're all youth that's been in the system multiple years now.
Well, and it's one of those things that we've talked about too, is that like when you have X amount of needs and Y amount of money, you can't just fill all the needs. And, you know, they feel like they owe Allen, Lawrence, and Fotu one more run. Obviously they can't do anything with Watt. And then they just like, you know, Dogby and Ledbetter as their kind of back end of the rotation guys, which are good to have.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, it's not a bad thing by any stretch of the imagination. It's just also, it's also just different because you would expect it at some point to be upgraded. And I think we can say the same thing for the cornerback position, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting...
Well, and even the edge position, I mean, they finally addressed it this year with the Sanders and Cam Thomas, but it's going to be really interesting to see, especially after the Kennard Cup. I think that was the biggest surprise for you and I was, and it came yesterday on Monday, that Kennard was going to get cut because...
They're going all in with the youth.
I mean, and not just the youth, but like, think about the fact that they're probably going to start Dennis Gardeck opposite Marcus Golden.
Maybe, like, I don't know. Or is it going to be DeMekhi?
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, DeMekhi has a lot of similarities to Kennard outside of that Kennard just got, you know, 4 or 5 years experience on him. Yeah. And so, but from a physicality, like stylistic standpoint, DeMekhi and Kennard aren't that different. So maybe that's what they're thinking.
Honestly, if DeMekhi turns into something decent, what a pick. What a pick that was a year ago, because that was the last year we were like, okay, we've got this, you know, Marcus Golden light, and Marcus Golden is kind of special in himself. So how could you expect? I'll admit, I liked what he did in the preseason, and knowing the praise that he got from Cliff Kingsbury in press conference during the training camp, there was a shot, but I wasn't certain. It's not like I could bet a house payment on him making the roster, but he might be a starter. This might be, you know, for lack of a better comparison, it's kind of when they threw Marco Wilson into the starting lineup last year, where even though Malcolm Butler retired, we feel, we kind of have felt that that was partially maybe because of they were going to go with Marco instead. But, you know, Demakeji, I'm certain Devon Kennard is the better player over Demakeji right now. But we also know Kennard's ceiling. And if Demakeji is close to that with more upside, why not?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of just what it is, right? I think they're looking at it. The reason it struck you and I so much as odd is just because there's such little financial relief from this.
Yeah. Like, yes. They have to actively pay Kennard $600,000. And maybe he's a guy they bring out to the practice. Let me, if he doesn't find anything elsewhere.
Or what happens if they just flat out bring him back? Like,
I mean, that's a possibility. Let's talk about that then. So my candidates to go on injured reserve for potentially the short term type of situation. I feel like Charles Washington's probably, if there's anyone, Charles Washington has a good shot at that. Maybe Jonathan Ward, maybe Antoine Wesley. And then you look at, I wondered if Justin Pugh was in that scenario, but I think it sounds like he has a chance for week one. But if Pugh is might be ready for week one, it makes the Cody Ford trade seem more weird, except for I think it might have been the case, but when Justin Murray, because he got released with an injury settlement, is that Murray just couldn't stay healthy. Because last year he had the back injury, started to come back, had a setback, hurt the ankle in camp this year, and it might have been they literally lost their comfort level depth. And I thought it was more about Pugh, but maybe it was all about Murray.
Yeah, and that's what's really interesting, because you and I talked about it last week and when the trade went down, and we weren't sure what this meant. And then obviously he's taking those left guard reps, you know, and then you get the fun speculation that Pugh's upset with the Cardinals because they told him he was going to play center and now he's playing guard again. It's like, guys, he literally just got hurt. Like, not everything's a deep seated, like,
he knows left guard. He was trying center to see if he could.
Right. Like, it's not always as nefarious as everybody wants to make it. Trust me, as much as people want it to be a soap opera, it's really not that much. You know, and so this was obviously on the heels of Hayes getting hurt. And so I do wonder, because Murray's had some injury issues of his own, right? He's been a little nicked up throughout his career, if I remember right. And so I'm wondering if it was more, they're looking at this as like, hey, Cody Ford is a guy that can play similar to Murray, use similar to Murray, and hasn't had injury issues when he's actually being asked to play.
Yeah, he's younger, cheaper, no durability issues.
Yeah, and again, this is spitballing. But kind of, I think you and I mean, neither of us predicted Murray on the roster last week. So I think you and I both saw the writing on the wall of this is what was going to go down because of
the trade
for Ford.
But the fact that he got released with an injury settlement also gives some clarity to the situation as well.
Right. And then, you know, I don't know. I mean, like, when you look at the guys who could be like coming back, you know, and you look at it from that vantage point and you say, okay, well, you know, like we said, Kennard, Steven Anderson, like maybe, I mean, could they IR Max Williams? Do you think
they could, they could viably do that if they think that he's going to be out, but I doubt that would be the case, because if there was a possibility, they would have just kept him on PUP.
Right. But
I mean, well, let's forget that. They did that with Dennis Gardeck last year, and then they put him on IR to start the year after he hurt his hand or something.
If on PUP, is it, it still would have been four games?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to look here. I mean, I know people love Chandler Wooten. We just talked about the linebacker position. Are they going to throw a 6-1 in there? I don't know. I mean, I just don't see anybody that like screams outside of, like you said, the Aaron Burger situation. And that's really it. I mean, barring an injury is something different completely, but like, I think Brewer comes back. You're going to IR at least one, maybe two guys. And so then it'll depend. Like, I would assume, this is an assumption, obviously, but I would assume if they IR Washington, they bring Wiggins back, wouldn't you? Just because of the special teams aspect. But,
like
but if, a couple,
if
a couple.
Washington, if Washington's on, I think Wiggins is the only option you have, because what else are they going to do at safety?
Well, it's actually interesting, because a couple of really good key veteran special teamers were actually released. And so I'm not saying that it could happen, but maybe that just changes the like guarantee if Washington gets put on the 4-week IR that, you know, Wiggins is the guy coming back. Now, I haven't looked at like all the names, but following a lot of the beat guys, they talked about, wow, I think it was the Dolphins maybe. They're like, wow, you know, key defensive back special teams guy cut. Like, so those might be names to watch, similar to how they ended up with Washington in the first place, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's kind of what that was.
So, but yeah, I mean, I just don't see anything crazy. And like you said, I don't know. I feel like they got it for the most part right. I mean, like I said, there wasn't anything glaring at all.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next on the Rise Up Secret Podcast, Bashar Carlos talking the web. Let's talk about the trade they made. Finally, they traded for a cornerback, and maybe it's a surprise who that was. That's coming next on Rise Up Secret. Back on Rise Up Secret Podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. The Cardinals finally made their cornerback trade. We were expecting cornerback trade, and then we got an offensive lineman trade. But it happened. On cut down day, the Cardinals made a deal with the Las Vegas Raiders, interestingly enough, who their week two opponent, to acquire Trayvon Mullen Jr., former second round pick in 2019. And he's long, he's athletic. Former teammate of Isaiah Simmons at Clemson. They get him for a seventh-round pick, a conditional seventh-round pick that could become a sixth-rounder depending on playing time. What is there to know about this kid? I'll be honest, I don't remember much of him when it coming out. But, I mean, you look at the measurables, he's long, he's got some speed. And I will say, was it you or was it Blake that sent that tweet in the group chat that said that it was the funniest description I've heard, that he is a 24-year-old, 30-year-old Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, that was Blake. And yeah, I mean, you look at it, you know, he hasn't lived up to the billing in the NFL. Some of that has definitely been injury issues. And, you know, people are going to roll their eyes, you know, that now you've got another guy that's had injury issues, but it is what it is. I mean, we've talked about this. You weren't getting a star at this point in the season without giving up multiple first round picks. And so, you know, for them to be able to get Trayvon Mullen, I think it speaks to, you know, what we've seen from Steve Keim consistently, and that's just his ability to find a way to get intriguing pieces to put together. I mean, we talked about, obviously, Mullen. We talked about Cody Ford. We talked about Will Hernandez, right? All those guys are kind of in the same-ish boat, wouldn't you say? Like, guys that haven't necessarily lived up to the expectations of their draft position, and so they're getting a change of scenery with a chance to excel. You know, it's interesting to look through Mullen's career. You know, in 2019, when he was drafted, he played a ton. I think 675 snaps. He had decent coverage grade. Looking at his numbers here, pass breakups, he ended up with 8 and an interception in, let's see, what did he play? He ended up playing, you know, in 675 snaps. Last or 2 years ago, he had 11 pass breakups and 2 interceptions, which is actually really, really good, in 933 defense snaps. Solid, you know, coverage grade. And last year dealt with injuries and only played 229 snaps, finished with 2 pass breakups and an interception. So, like, he's a guy that's consistently, excuse me, you know, shown improvement. His biggest issue has been, I think for me, a lot of it's been usage. I don't think his skill set, you know, was necessarily utilized correctly by the Raiders, and we've seen that. And so he tended to have more penalties than you would want to see. But like his size, speed, ability to press, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they use him. I'm interested to see if he can become a competent cornerback too, because he has a lot of the requisite things that you want to see, especially with his feet and hips and his ability to, you know, break on the ball.
Isn't he a little bit different? So, like, when they went out and signed Jeff Gladney, one of the things they kind of liked was his, it was kind of like a younger version of Robert Alford, with a little bit of versatility. Like, he could play inside, outside. They view Byron Murphy as a stronger inside guy, but he can play outside. Marco Wilson, they believe, can play inside. Got some versatility. Mullen is more strictly boundary, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to be a strictly boundary type of guy. You know, he's an outside guy. Like I said, 6'2", 200 pounds. He was a mid 4.4 guy. Those are, you know, he's a long, kind of lanky. You look at him as that type of corner that can kind of match up and play against,
like, the DK Metcalf
receivers. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like bigger receivers. Like, he's gonna be that guy. I think he's a better fit in, like, a zone situation. So we'll see. We'll see how that pans out. But, like, I like him. I think it was a good trade. And it's like the Hernandez. It's like the Ford situation. It gives them an opportunity to grade a guy up close and then make a decision.
Well, and they're kind of in a situation where it seems like Antonio Hamilton might be one of those guys that goes IR, because we don't know what's wrong.
Yeah, that was another good one. That's another
we don't one. Know what's wrong. And it sounded like, you know, last week at Cliff was, it seemed to suggest that Hamilton probably wouldn't be there for week 1. And now on Tuesday, he's saying hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later, which seems to suggest there is something going on, which is interesting because of how it was. They didn't say when they said he missed practice, it wasn't because of an MRI. He had a doctor's appointment, which almost makes it sound less injury and more illness, maybe, which will, I don't know what to think because Cliff would not elaborate. He said, well, you have to wait till it's on the injury report. And we'll find out next week if it's a body part injury or if it ends up being like illness. But we'll have to wait and see how that goes. But as it was, if you were going into the season with four quarterbacks on the roster, with Byron Murphy, Marco Wilson, Antonio Hamilton, and rookie Christian Matthew, and you aren't going to have you're not going to have Hamilton available, that's not exactly what you want going into week one against the Kansas City Chiefs. And the possible plus is the fact that Mullen played the last three seasons in the AFC West, and so even if he isn't completely up to speed in the Cardinal scheme, he is familiar with the opponent.
Yeah, and that's what I think they saw in him. And again, like, the pickings are slim, guys. It's not
They think Rob Alford is done because they could assign him at any point.
And who knows? Maybe they still do. I mean, honestly, like, who knows?
That's true.
The reality of the situation is, when you look at it, I'm trying to find. There you go. All the cuts that were made. I'm just kind of whirling through here quickly today. But there was nobody. There's just nobody that you're just like, oh, this team, is going to get rid of this player. And you look at like some of the situations that end up happening. For instance, you had a guy like what's the guy's name out of New York, the Jets, the offensive lineman that they were trying to get rid of. And talks broke down at the last second and they ended up just having to cut him. Like, we would have heard more about a corner that's really good or that teams like that is young. The whole reason the Cardinals traded a seventh that turns into a six is because they didn't want to have to hope that Mullen gets to them at waivers. The rest of these guys, they're like, hey, if we get them on waivers, that'll be fine. But like, Or they're a veteran that they can go have a conversation with and go look at. But like, yeah, I'm literally just scrolling, through all the names, and like nothing really stands out where you're like, oh, why didn't they try to go get this guy? Because it's not like they could trade for a guy that's made a roster. What teams are giving up good cornerbacks at this point?
Nope, nobody's trying to give up cornerbacks at this point. So obviously the Raiders were going to cut him. Basically,
are the Raiders. they've cut. I mean, they cut Alex freaking Leatherwood, who was their first round pick.
They are purging themselves of the Mayock Gruden era.
Yeah, they really are. And Leatherwood, it's interesting because obviously he's got to pass through waivers, but like. And his salary's way bigger, so don't take this the wrong way. But like Leatherwood would be the type of guy that you're like, oh, maybe we didn't need to trade for Cody Ford. Now, again, I don't think he's going to get to the 23rd. But like, if you're the team that has like the fifth or sixth waiver spot, and you traded for Cody Ford for a fifth rounder, you're like, oh man, really? Like, we would have traded a fifth rounder for Alec Leatherwood if you would have given us a heads up, Raiders. But like, yeah, I mean, there just wasn't any of those. Like, you want to go get Malcolm Butler back? Like, he got cut today.
Yeah, I don't think the Cardinals trust him anymore.
Right, exactly.
Coming next on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, Mr. Arizona Cardinals talk on Low M. Let's wrap this up, talk about some players we think could come back to the practice squad and any other moves that we think that they need to do. That's coming up next on Rise of Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk on the web of the players that were released. Who do you think are the most likely to be practice squatters? I'm going to go. So here are my practice squad locks. Jace Whitaker is a lock that's been kind of reported as such. I don't think anyone's going to go after him. Receiver Andre Bocelli, they like him. Chandler Wooten, Trace McSorley, Jesse Luketta. Then you go with...
You think they're going to take McSorley over Garantano?
I think so. I think what I believe in terms of why they gave him all that playing time is that gives him a familiarity with the offense. And so if they end up in a scenario where Kyler gets hurt or McCoy gets hurt and they need him to be the backup, it's not frantic because he got a lot of reps.
What is your opinion on Jontre Kirkland or Javonte Payton?
I wouldn't be surprised if both of them make the practice squad. I don't know how many receivers you're going to keep on the practice squad with 16, but I could see. I don't know about Victor Bolden.
He struggled. He had some, you know, he wasn't as good. I think they would like to bring back Manny Jones.
Yes, Manny Jones is a lock. And then after that, maybe Wiggins. I don't know how they view, but he might get re-signed to the roster, honestly.
Right. Wiggins is a wait-and-see type of situation because, again, if Washington's healthy, I think they cut Wiggins and are kind of moving on from him.
And find another finding another young safety to put on the practice squad.
Right. If Washington IRs, then I think Wiggins was the guy that they were hoping to pass through and get back. Like, because knowing that they'll practice squad him or release him in 4 or 5 weeks when Washington is healthy. But like that's the way I look at the Wiggins situation. Like you said, Wooten, Whitaker.
I could see Isadora coming back. It's not unlimited this year that you've got a 16-man practice squad, but it's not like you can fill it with 16 veterans.
Right.
It used to be the 8-man practice squad, and you could have up to 2 players who had more than like the 1 credited year, but they couldn't have more than 2 credited years. There are 6 on the practice squad that can be of any experience level. And so that's where, you know, Devon Kennard, Steven Anderson, Danny Isadora, those type of guys could be, or even like Antoine Woods, defensive lineman, those guys could come back. Joe Walker, who spent time on the practice squad last year. If we can't, Joe Walker. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back, but I'm not going to say he's going to come back, but let me just say, I would not be, Joe Walker on a Cardinals team would never surprise me.
Well, that's kind of how I feel about Coda Martin.
He was on the practice squad the last 2 years, and so he knows the system. Like, he clearly is a player that they like some.
Right. And so that's what I mean. Is like a guy like Coda Martin, he's like your prototype guy that like ends up on the practice squad every year. And you're like, well, you can't do any better. But at the same time, they're like, well, no, we do better every year. That's why he's on the practice squad.
Yeah. But in that way, at least he's been taught in the team's technique, knows the offensive system and all that sort of thing.
But, and here's what I'll say. Like, you know, we talked about it at the beginning of the show a little bit. You've got guys like you were saying, you got guys like Jesse Luketta, Manny Jones, who was the Chandler Wooten? You know, you've got these guys that fans gravitated towards, and they played well. Don't
the
get me
undrafted
wrong.
I mean, guys always like they always grab us every year,
and they undoubtedly played well. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. But when you look at it, you have to look at it like Tay Gowan. Remember, Cardinals fans were actually upset that they included Tay Gowan in the Eagles trade. Well, if you want him, you can go get him.
Yes, I mean, he got Tom Brady of cornerbacks, right?
Right. You know, when you look at it again, you know, we've talked about a lot of the guys that have been here through the years, the Cap Cappies and the Vontarius Doras of the world, and you know, fans seem to really kind of fall in love with those guys and then get bent out of shape. Let's see what happens with Lucetta Jones, Manny Jones, and Chandler Wooten. Like, if they end up getting picked up by another team, tip your caps. One, be happy for them. You know, now they get to play and they don't have to sit. But two, you're right. Like, you guys were right. The Cardinals shouldn't have cut them. They're obviously good enough players because other teams wanted them. But, like, a lot of times these guys get cut and then they don't ever find another spot, or they come back to this practice squad. Like, it's just it's silly to get upset until we see the final outcome. Now, if you're like, oh, I thought they should be on the roster, well, I mean, again, like Manny Jones, who are you gonna place? Jonathan Ledbetter? Okay, so like, now we're like picking right? You know, if you wanted to keep Lucetta over, who are you keeping Lucetta over? Like, if you want to keep Wooten over Ben Neiman, you know, Jess and I probably agree from like what they did this preseason, but it also is a situation where if you get into a game and you've got to play your fourth string linebacker, maybe you want a guy that's actually been on the field and called the defense before in the NFL rather than a undrafted rookie out of Auburn. Like, yeah, that's just,
I mean, not only that, but so it's a limited athletic undrafted rookie out of Auburn.
Right. And so, like, it's not taking shots at these guys. We like them all. We want to see them succeed. But until it's all, you know, the dust settles and these guys either sign elsewhere on active rosters or are back on the practice squad or don't come back, you know, like, let it play out. Like I said, the Jesse Lemonnier thing was a perfect example. Like, people were upset that he got cut after having a good, you know, first half of the preseason game, having what was to, you know, set a good camp, and nobody's picked him up. Like, that happens all the time. He performs well in situations, and or a player does, and then they don't get picked up anywhere else. Like I said, Cappy and Vontarius Dorr are like,
never done anything.
Well, and I joked with my buddies about it, like, you know, Cappy, Vontarius Dorr, every wide receiver that Larry Fitzgerald said was going to be really good. I mean, because remember, Fitz's track record of like picking out like the receivers that are going to be good is not good. If he talked about them getting out of like camp and stuff, it was basically a death knell to their career, unfortunately. obviously talking about undrafted guys, but yeah, you know, so yeah, so like, let's let it all play out. Let's see where it ends up, and then we can get bent out of shape on. But you know, I think I again, outside of Kennard and then Lucetta because of Kennard, I don't think there was anything kind of surprising or eye-opening.
Would you expect to see, if the Cardinals make any other moves, where do you see them making it? Do you think that they could bring in another cornerback? Would you see them addressing the edge at all, or the defensive line?
I was going to say corner or D-line, I think. I think that's really the two position spots that they may still look to bring back but bring in. But yeah, like, I just I don't see a guy where you're just like, again, that you're just like, hey, this guy's 100% better.
All right. Well, then, we will wrap up this edition of the show, episode 370. We'll be back in Nathan's next week, where we can talk about what we'll do next week is kind of a season preview / expectation for week one. We've got a week of practice this week. Next week, game week.
Week one's going to be fun, man. I mean,
oh, all the points, probably.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I know some fans are very nervous about the game. The Chiefs are a good team, you know, but like they've got a lot of question marks themselves. They've got, you know, question marks at wide receiver.
On defense, honestly.
On defense, they've got question marks all over the place. Like, you know, people were really, really excited about Chris Jones and Danny Shelton. And then Danny Shelton's cut today. They're starting a rookie corner. They've got some super, super athletic linebackers that are good, but it'll be interesting because, I mean, I think Cardinals fans are more afraid than they probably need to be at this point. I mean, again, could be wrong, but you know, I wouldn't say that you're playing the 85 Bears here. I think the Chiefs are an excellent, excellent team, but like the already fear thing is kind of funny to me.
Nope. That's what we'll talk about next week. Season preview, previewing the Cardinals against Chiefs. That'll wrap the wrap on this show. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Rude. This is Rise of Sea Red Podcast. We will be back again next week. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.